with Meher Baba. This was an announcement or a pronouncement night and day. At any time you ask him, who are you? You are the avatar. Nothing else but the avatar. I thought to myself, it was very difficult for me to digest this. He calls himself the highest I. What about the other saints? What about the other yogis? What about the other rishis? What about the perfect masters? How could he be the highest of the high? As time elapsed, and I found that it was nothing but the truth, and what he said about himself. Himself is not an egoistic way. Baba is the, Meher Baba is the ocean of love, but he is also the slave of the love of his lovers. He does not only say that he is the highest of the high, but he says, I am in the lowest of the low also, everywhere. Now, it is not easy for common persons, and even those who are in search of truth, to accept this. One day a man comes to Meher Baba and says, Baba, why do you call yourself as the avatar? Why don't you call yourself an ordinary saint? There will be thousands of followers for you. It is because of this word avatar that we cannot have as many people accept you. Oh, then you think that I am the saint, huh? Yes, yes, Baba, I believe you as a saint. But don't call yourself as the avatar. It is too difficult to accept. But I am a saint, huh? You accept me as a saint, yes? Then do you think that a saint is capable of telling a lie? No, 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 a saint cannot tell a lie. Saint always tells the truth. Then the saint says, I am the avatar. What do you want me to say about myself and at what cost? Can I be dishonest to myself? What is it that I gain by? On the other hand, sir, let me tell you, sisters and brothers, that if I have been with Baba for 47 years, if he had really called himself a saint, I think there would have been millions of followers today. He had such a personality, and he had such power, he had such peacefulness, he had such love. But the truth had to be told, at the cost of anything. And he said that I am the avatar. Once what happened, I was called at a reception of by one of my friends in Taj Mahal Hotel, one of the biggest hotels in India. I went there. This man by name Mr. Munshi, he recently died. He was a political leader. He was once governor of Hyderabad. And he was a very well-known man, very vastly read man, having practiced so many yogas and having written so many books. This has become a problem. Thank you. Ah, that's the way. Ah, what a wit. So Mr. Munshi came there, I was introduced. He was quite a fairly aged man. I shook hands with him. Oh, you are the secretary of Avatar Member? I said, yes, sir. Who is the avatar in this age? We do not know. Aurobindo calls himself the avatar. Ramakrishna Paramahansa says avatar. Ramana Maharishi says avatar. And Swami Ramatirtha said avatar. I said, I beg your pardon. Aurobindo did not call himself as the avatar. Maybe he may have used the word here and there. His devotees and his lovers may have called him as the avatar, but he did not claim himself to be the avatar. Nowhere have I read there. Neither Ramakrishna Paramahansa says called himself as the avatar, nor Ramana Maharshi called himself as the avatar. But here is Meher Baba, day in and day out he says as the avatar. No, no, it is too much. He says it is too much for one to claim like this. Sir, it is too much for you to accept. It is too little for me to say about him, I told him. Oh, then said Mr. Irani, will you meet me? He is a very rich, wealthy, well-known man. I said, yes, sir. I will meet you at your house. You are a very busy man doing everything. But I am also a very busy man doing nothing. But it is more difficult to do nothing than to do everything. Bear in mind. And if you give me time, you must be ready to meet me there. You should not have my time wasted. No, no, sir, Mr. Irani, I will be ready. And he was at the strike of 10 the next morning. He was there and I talked to him for 2 hours. His wife was also a very enlightened woman. We had a long talk. And not a single word this man contradicted at all. He heard me and he said, yes. you have been talking about so many yogas and so many other things, and these are the paths, these are the ways and all that. And he said, he was very happy. So now, going back to the point of Meher Baba's avatarhood, I tried to disbelieve it in many, with all my might. I loved Meher Baba very much. But I had not fallen in love with his avatarhood until at a very late stage. And I was bent upon not accepting it. But there were very clear indications, it's a long story, I'm not going to repeat that story, which gave me the conviction. Or if you want, I shall say this. What do we say? Shall I say this or go on, proceed? Jack?
Maybe later.
Maybe later, yes. At times he becomes my guide, but many a times I have to be his guide. Now, let us try to see what is the position of this avatar. Highest of the high, the same as Zoroastra was Rama. You know, during the time of Rama, there were many, many perfect masters. In fact, Janaka, the father of Rama, was himself the perfect master. But nobody is called, even till today, nobody is called avatar excepting Rama. He was called Sadguru, he was called Satpurush, he was called Rishi, he was called Muni, he was called this, he was called that. But none except Ram was called the avatar. So that is the position of the avatar only. Now where is he and what is he? Let us try to find out. We are only sailing in the domain of intellectuality, for the matter of intellectual understanding. The domain of experience is far beyond. And Meher Baba has made such a demarcation between the two that he has explained three aspects of knowledge. One aspect of knowledge is intellectual knowledge. The second aspect of knowledge is the knowledge gotten out of sight and seeing. And the third is becoming one with the object, identifying oneself with the object, and that is the only knowledge which is conclusive. The rest of the knowledges are not conclusive at all. Intellectual knowledge may be this or may be that. In my opinion it is this, in somebody's opinion it is that. We really do not know. We can arrive at the truth, a comparative truth, but not the final truth at all. Now the second stage is sight and seeing. I see him sitting before me. If the whole world comes and tells me he is not, I shall say no, I see him. Because it is a knowledge gotten out of my sight and seeing. He is sitting before me. How can I? So that is the second type of knowledge which is more conclusive comparatively than intellectual knowledge. Intellectual knowledge is a thing you take a few, two things or more, compare and contrast, and you come to the conclusion that is an intellectual knowledge. Knowledge gotten through sight and seeing is that you see the object before your eyes. But a seeing is also sometimes becomes a deceitful. You do not know. From a distance you see there is a vast sheet of water, you go near and find that it is a mirage, it's not water at all. Still you go further, try to find water, it turns out to be mirage, it's not water. So appearances can be delusive. It is not conclusive. So what is the conclusive knowledge? Meher Baba says conclusive knowledge is to become one with God. But I have not seen God, I have not felt God, to become one with God is a far cry for me. But he says this is the only conclusive knowledge. The rest of all knowledges that come in between are only for the time being. And we should not try to involve ourselves much with that knowledge. Try to keep the final aim before your mind's eye. Meher Baba says there are two things. God at one end and man at the other end. And there is a path like this. And there may be thousands and thousands of things on the path we do not know. But they are the byproduct of, they should be the byproduct of our journey. We should not get ourselves involved into them at all. Neither those experiences. Because those experiences may be very heightening for the time being, just like a peg of a Johnny Walker Black Label. And again we shall have to take peg to keep our spirits high. But that is not the way, he says. You get much involved into it. You become an alcoholic. You become a spiritual alcoholic and you do not advance further. And the final goal is absolutely lost. It is much better to go slow, surely, wait, have no experiences, Meher Baba says, and just come and align yourself with me, submit to me or become my friend. You may not accept me as the avatar. You call me anything. You may call me your brother, your relative, your friend or anyone. Make friendship with me and make me your constant companion. For the matter of telling the fact, he says that he is the avatar. But he doesn't insist that you should call him the avatar. You may call him as brother, you may call him as father, you may call him as mother, you may call him as friend, you may call him as relative, you may call him as master, you may call him anything. But he says, keep my company. Make me your constant companion and through love. I want your love, I don't want anything at all. In the scheme of Meher Baba's things, renunciation is very great, but he gives no importance to the physical renunciation. Physical renunciation is not the final renunciation at all, because it is the mind that gets attached. Physical renunciation may be there, but if the mind is attached, you are not said to have renounced anything at all. So he wants you to keep your mind detached. Supposing there is a man who is sitting on the top of Himalaya mountain, and his mind is in the gutter of Los Angeles. He is not there, he is here. You see. And a mast in India stays near the gutter, but his mind and spirit is as high as a Himalayan mountain, so he is there, he is not there. So physical proximity, nearness or farness doesn't matter at all. It is the mind that is the creator of trouble. It is the mind that is the creator of pleasure and pain. So that has to be controlled, that is to be won over. And Baba says, one has to keep detached. He doesn't want you to detach yourself. Carry out all the duties of your life. Look after your relatives, look after yourself, look after your health. There is no sort of an asceticism at all. There is nothing like giving up anything physically at all. But mentally, keep yourself attached apparently or superficially to all the things and keep yourself detached substantially. So when the time comes for detachment, you are ever ready. So I say, instead of getting old, the nature comes and gives you a kick from the back and says, come on, you resign from everything or you'll be fired from here. You cannot work long. So don't wait till you have to be fired. In your own life, resign yourself to God. Dedicate yourself to Meher Baba or dedicate yourself to any God whom you have in mind and honorably resign the position and do not stick to it like a leech all the time till nature comes and fires you out, kicks you out. That is the position I would really want to resign rather than be fired. See, one important message of Meher Baba is that I have not come to displace anything. Everything is alright in its own place. But I have come to show you where is what. You have a human body, beautiful human body given to you by God. But you must know where the nose is. You must know where your legs are. You must know where your heart is. You must know your mind, where your mind is, where your brain is. And you must know the comparative importance of all the things. My feet are very important. Indeed, without feet, if I were to lose my feet, I would be at a great loss. Maybe to earn my living or do anything in my life, to drive a car, to run about and so forth. But do you think in spite of the fact that the feet are so important, they are as important as your heart? I'm asking you a question. Not at all. I would rather lose my feet if ever a time comes, but not my heart. If I lose my heart, I die. I can't. I will not be able to live at all. So my heart is very important to me. And Meher Baba says that is the seat, symbolic seat of your love. And that is what you have to give it to your God. You have to give it to Meher Baba. I shall say both the things together. The spiritual status of the avatarhood of Meher Baba and also his message. They will be rather intertwined with each other. I will not say one thing at one time, another thing at another time. It's up to you to understand. So most important, he says, is your love. And spirituality, as it is called Adhyatma in Vedanta, and in Sufism it is called Ruhaniyat, and we call spirituality in English. The real spirituality only deals with your heart and your love for God. And the rest of all the practices in the world are to evoke that love of God in your heart. Meher Baba has never told anybody to give up this yoga or give up that yoga at all. But Meher Baba has said, if you do the yoga, do it in the right way. And the right way is to aim, all the practices should be aimed at evoking the love of God in your heart. One thing, and eliminating your ego, which is the bane of spirituality. If I do meditations, for there, I have seen men, yogis doing meditation for 14 to 16 hours in a day, and I used to have arguments with them. They are very, very nice men indeed. But I used to tell them that you do meditation, you gain so much. But don't you think that you get the pride of your meditation and you think I am a great man, a great meditator or a great renunciator? Tarke khudi se maile pindar ho gaye, azad hote hote giraftar ho gaye. In order to try to eliminate my ego, I got caught up in my arrogance of having renounced my ego. I renounced my ego. But the sense of having renounced has created a greater ego for me. So instead of getting rid of it, I got more and more captivated in it. So Meher Baba says, be very careful. It's a very subtle thing. All the yogas in the world can have good effect. All the meditation can have a good effect. But if they are not aimed at two things, evoking the love of God in your heart, and not towards your self-effacement, they will not help you in the real spiritual way at all. And spirituality really is gained after renouncing your ego. And look at Meher Baba. You may not call him avatar, you may call him anything. He had a number of people along with him. I was one of them for nearly 4 and 5 decades. And he made them do things without the least demonstration and without the least, without giving them the least feeling of their self-importance. There have been celibates all their life. There have been renunciators who have given up everything for the cause of Meher Baba. There have been people who have been all the time giving 100% service to him, but never for a moment they feel that I am something great and the rest of the humanity is smaller than me. Because Baba says, what is the good of having your renounced this? If you renounced it and you get caught up in a greater ego, it was better that you had not renounced anything at all. Remained only a man of the world, it would have been much better. But this is a great liability that you have created for yourself. By trying to eliminate my ego, I have earned $10,000. And having caught up in the higher ego of having renounced, then I have created a debt of $1 million. So where do I stand? I do not know, sir. And Meher Baba is very objective. Objective in the sense that he says the free will is very powerful, the mind is very powerful, it can control many things. But you cannot really give up totally and completely and consummately unless you have the love of God inflamed in your heart, And that is the thing which burns everything in the world. And love is the greatest force in the world. It is only love that can overcome hatred, that can overcome ill feeling, that can overcome all the effects of the commissions and omissions of your life. It is the greatest force in our life. And it is not to be brought out from somewhere else and thrown into you. It is already there within you. The only thing is you have to give a proper direction, that's all. Everything is there within you. He has given in his discourses so many explanations about yoga, about rishis and munis and about psychics and always so forth, so forth. But for his lovers, he has not advised to take up anything of that sort at all. He is not against anything. He says that everything is good in its own place, but we must know the relative value, where is what. And if somebody gets into the orbit of Meher Baba's love, then these things are not necessary for you. They are not bad. They may be, in a way, helpful to you, but it is absolutely not necessary for you to involve yourself in this at all. And love is the greatest force. And you can develop that love in the most natural way in the acts of everyday life. You remember God? Are you be helpful to humanity? Every minute, every spare moment you can remember Him in your heart. He may be your God, He may be your Christ, He may be Aurobindo Ghosh, He may be Meher Baba, whomever you want to worship, he could be remembered. And there is no necessity for one to give half an hour or 1 hour time every day, sit in a corner and go on meditating. It is not harmful, it is very useful. It could be done. But if it is done in a proper way, what happens is this, that a man goes on doing, he thinks, I am a great man. I have done it, sir, and I have suffered. At the hands of Meher Baba also, he says, this is not the right way to do it at all. Be natural. Be an ordinary man of the world. My spirituality stands on its own truth. It is not demonstrative at all. My spirituality doesn't need a showcase to be placed in like a motor car of the latest model to attract customers to buy them. It is there, it stands on its own truth. And the truth that is shown to us by the avatar, always one. Now, this concept of avatarhood, I'm going back again, is such a vast subject that I don't think in one talk I can really acquit myself of the responsibility of having explained fully. However, I'll make use of the time as best as I can. This avatar is something like the only force between Absolute God and infinite illusion. Illusion is also infinite. God is infinite. But Meher Baba says God is absolute. Being infinite, it is absolute. Illusion is only infinite, it is not absolute. And where is God and where is illusion? Where is the link? Where is the bridge between the two? It is only the avatar. Not once, not twice, at all times of the period, He is there. Whether He is in the body, whether He is not in the body, the avatar is one always. He comes once between 700 and 1400 years and humanity becomes forgetful, doesn't accept Him, casts aspersions upon Him, molests Him. Zoroaster was killed by a sword. Rama was sent in the exiles. Buddha suffered privations. Christ was crucified, the avatar of the age. And Muhammad was spat upon his face, so much humiliated. And Krishna had to play the politics, being avatar himself. And Meher Baba suffered mentally very much because the modern world is full of mind, full of thoughts, full of mental suffering or pleasures as they are, and that's why the suffering had to be mental. Meher Baba said once that Christ suffered crucifixion once, but every minute of my life I used to suffer crucifixion because the times have changed. So this avatar, where does he stand? At the top of everything. He is nothing else but God, the personification of God. If there is any personal aspect of God, there are two aspects of God, personal and impersonal. And the highest personal aspect of God is the avatar. God as God doesn't do anything at all. He is far removed, he doesn't bother. He is immersed. He is in himself all the time. But the same God, in the shape of the avatar, looks after the entire functioning of the world. Not today, tomorrow, or yesterday, for all times. It's very difficult to digest this concept. Only the concept, let alone the experience. Experience is a far cry. But for me to get at this concept and hold on to it and be wedded with it, have the conviction of it, it took me really long time. It doesn't take as much time with everyone. Somebody takes it far too quicker than I did or many others did. But the concept is this. It stands there for all times. Avatar is there for all times. And he is the only link between absolute God and eternal illusion. One beautiful message of Meher Baba is, he says, what is love? Christ says God is love and love is God. And Meher Baba says, I cannot reproduce in his own words, but I will reproduce it in my own words, giving you the sense and the meaning of his message. The message is this. Love is the reflection of the unity of God. God is one. Love is the reflection of the unity of God into our life of diversity. Our life is diverse. Our life is exists in manyness. And God exists in oneness. But where is the link? Where is the bridge between the two? And he says, love is this. Love is the link between the two. And that love is activized by the avatar. And to gain anything through real spirituality, there can be imitation spirituality also. It can only be done through love and nothing else. Love is the only substance. Love is the only power which can bridge the gap between man and God at any time. But one should know how to love. There are loves and loves. I love my wife, I love my child, I love cinema house. Somebody goes to a prostitute's house and his love is there, and that fellow's love is there. These loves are all spread out loves. When I was first attracted to Meher Baba, it was exactly this love that, you see, made me really go to him so speedily. Avatarhood and the conviction of avatarhood were different, but I just loved him at the very first sight, for the simple reason that the love that he lavished upon me at that time was so great, so overwhelming, that I thought to myself, Adi, my mother loves me so much, my father loves me so much, my friends love, my relatives love me, and really here is the ocean of love, and all these small loves, I feel that they are small ponds of love. If I collect all these ponds together, they could hardly equal the ocean of love. So why should I run after these small ponds? They may be my relatives, she may be my mother, he may be my father, but why should I ever miss the opportunity of staying with him, obeying him, the master who is love personified, and he was the ocean of love, and he expresses his love so openly to me, and that's why I was attracted towards him. Nothing else. And from that time, I was myself fond of so many yogas and so many meditations and all that. I have gone through all that. But I have seen, it is only the love. And Baba says all these practices are towards evoking that love of God. If it is not for that, you can get many other things. There are quite a number of yogis who can perform miracles, but they are all different forces altogether, and they involve themselves more and more into illusion than getting out of it. So Meher Baba says, do one thing. You have to do nothing at all. The only thing is for you to do it. I entirely dedicate yourself to me. And I don't want your money, I don't want your anything at all. But dedication is a great thing. I have to give my life. Perfect Master Kabir once told one of his new disciples, he says, कबीर ये प्रेम का घर है नानी का घर नाही, सर काटो भुई धरो तब ठहरो घर माही। ए न्यू मैन हैपन टू कम अलोंग देयर, ही सेज दिस इज द हाउस ऑफ लव, दिस इज नॉट द हाउस ऑफ योर ग्रैंड मदर टू कम एंड स्टे हियर एट ऑल। यू शुड बी प्रिपेयर टू कट योर थ्रोट एंड पुट इट ऑन द ग्राउंड, देन यू कैन क्लेम योर सेल्फ टू कम एंड सिट इन दिस हाउस ऑफ लव। That doesn't mean that Kabir ji expected to cut. He expected that you should be prepared to sacrifice anything at any time for your true love. And for the gain of that, a spirituality which is a real spirituality. There are many shows in the world also. Now in India also there are persons and persons, I know. But anyone, however ignorant or enlightened he may be, if he has the sincerity of purpose, and if he is honest to himself, anything that he does helps him. But Meher Baba says, be careful. Be careful about your ego. And be careful not to get involved in the acrobatics of mind and body all the time. And get stranded over there. One master has said, it is good to be born in a church, but it is not good to die in a church because you have to rise higher. And the sum and substance of Meher Baba's message is that lead a simple, honest, practical life in the world. Spirituality is only connected with your heart. It is not to be made a demonstration of to anybody at all. Of course, if the time comes for one to give a talk or to explain things about Meher Baba, about God, about spirituality, by all means you are free to do so. But not by way of demonstrating things. So Meher Baba doesn't allow any dress which would become attractive. Remain an ordinary man. He does not allow to become conspicuous in the world and to be called upon and to gain respect from the people by putting on such dresses or by making yourself attractive. On the other hand, go on purifying your heart, be attached to me all the time, be superficially attached to the rest of the things in the world and lead an ordinary simple life, and that is the real spirituality which is needed today for the present circumstances. It doesn't mean that a man who gives up physically everything and goes and leads a secluded life, he doesn't earn anything. He earns every attempt towards any practice. He gets the result. But what is the result? We have to see. It is not only the result that we get, but we have to see what do I get. There is another thing. Baba does not want you to divert your attention from that. We are the beings. We are the souls that have traveled through the entire evolution, taking up different forms. And in the human form, we have gone through millions of births and deaths. And all the impressions are there hanging on our head to be disposed of, to be dissolved, to be done away with, to be destroyed. Now what I do, I take a spiritual life upon myself and accept a path of some yoga or some meditation or some. It is quite all right. And I become absolutely, regardless of all that burden of liability I have got on my head. And supposing that burden is worth $10 million. And I go on taking a beautiful job of my practice and go on earning. And I earn $1 million. And I am very happy I have earned so much. You should be happy, undoubtedly. But don't forget that you have to pay a debt of $10 million here. So Meher Baba says, this earning, what you call an earning, is really not right for you at all. You have to pay attention to that liability, you have to dispose of that liability and do such acts by which you will be able to wash off these impressions, these samskaras, these effects of the commissions and omissions of life that you have done and performed through millions of births and deaths. So be practical. Not that you should not do this at all, but you should not become unmindful of that and just live in a fool's paradise that I am spiritually so high and I have raised myself up. There is another thing Baba has explained about yoga. He says, a man may have a lot of experiences, but these experiences are not lasting at all, and sometimes they are harmful. than helpful. And man is not on his own, unaided by the master, able to snatch himself out, uproot himself from the physical consciousness. He is embedded in it, entrenched in it all the time. And the experiences that he gets it through his physical consciousness of the subtle worlds. And that is not real spirituality. You have to see the subtle world through the subtle senses. But in this practice, we see the subtle world through physical sense. It's a very long explanation. I do not want you to get lost in it. It's something like a great maze. But for us, suffice to say that Meher Baba gives a great, great, great importance to the love of God, to the love of the Master. And through love, you are able to get over anything and everything. Is it not for your love that you bear all the discomforts of your life, for the love of your child, or for the love of your wife, for the love of your husband, for the love of your father or mother, or at last, at long last, yourself? It is that love which goads you all the time to take up all the hardships of life, earn money for the maintenance of whom you love most. Or if there are none, you love yourself. For the love of you alone you do it. So it is a love at the back of anything. So why not go to the core of it all? Why try to hang on to the branches of the fruit of a tree? Take the root of the tree and you get the entire tree. You have not to fumble about every leaf, every fruit, every branch of a tree at all. Many lifetimes will not be enough. And Meher Baba says, you come and dedicate your... Krishna said the same thing in the Gita. Christ says the same thing. Hafiz, the perfect master of Iran, says the same thing. Hafiz to bera o bandagiye peer mughakun. This is Persian, I shall explain to you. Hafiz to bera o bandagiye peer mughakun bardamane u dast zano az hama buksel. He says, lay your hand on his daman, on his skirt, catch hold of him and leave the rest alone. Don't bother about it. But Meher Baba says, you have not to, in these times you have not to leave physically, you have to become mentally detached. The great perfect master of Maharashtra, India, Tukaram, he says, Sadguru vachuni sapade na soya dharavete paaye adhi adhi. This is another language, Marathi. That was Persian. And before that was Urdu. Dharavete paaye adhi adhi. There is no way out. Anything and everything that you do, excepting catch hold of the master. But he must be a master. There are masters and masters. There are many blind masters. And if you follow a blind master, the blind leading the blind both fall in a ditch. So that should not be the case. And again, the concept of avatar is so great that I shall try to explain to you in a few words. God as God is not man. That means God is only God conscious, he is not man conscious. I will tell you why. Baba had explained to us. The entire world offers prayers. Baba said this whole world is offering prayer to whom? To God. God is oblivious of this. But same God in the form of the avatar has to take cognizance of the prayers and pay them back in the form of merit or whatever it is for their good. So the avatar has to do everything. Avatar activizes God's powers. God as God is not man. That means God is God conscious, he is not man conscious. And same God as man, like you and we are all God, but we have got human forms. We are in a state of ignorance, we are not in a state of knowledge. But we are essentially God, but we are not conscious that we are God. So God as man is man conscious, he is not God conscious. He is only the avatar who is God and man conscious at one and the same time. That is his spiritual status. What is his work? Who brings down God to become man and raises up man to become God? That is his entire work. Very briefly said. It is not as easy to understand. Of course, if you have read Baba's books, if you haven't, you should go through them all, and then you'll come to know what exactly the meaning of this is. Everything is done by him. He means everything is done by God, but God in the form of the avatar. That is his status. And at all times, not in one birth, two births, three births, all the saints of the world, they become the perfect masters, as we call the Sadguru, and they drop off the body, they are completely disconnected with illusion, they do not come back in this form at all. But during the lifetime, they do a lot of work. They help the humanity in the spiritual way, drop their body, and they go and merge themselves into Godhood. The saints and the great yogis, until they become perfect masters, they become God realized in the human form, they go on reincarnating. But once they become God realized in the human form, they do not come back to this earth at all. It is only the avatar. Once between 700 and 1400 years, history has proved it, comes over and over again at different places, in the different dress, in the different bodies, but he is the self same avatar at all times. This is the concept of the avatarhood. And I do not think there is any other concept, even confining ourselves to the concept of God. Once I was asked a question, what is the difference between you draw between God and the avatar? I said, avatar is more comprehensive than God. And how? I said, God is only God conscious. But avatar is God conscious and man conscious. God conscious and illusion conscious at one and the same time. So he's got one hand here and another hand there, and he's in between all the time. And it's a very difficult, it's a position of a great suffering. That's why all the avatars in their at their own times had to undertake a great suffering for the sake of humanity. There is not the avatar we know of. History has told us he has not suffered at all. I ask questions to Baba, if you are the avatar, if they were the avatar, why should every time they have to come and suffer? He says it is our own law. Unless we suffer, we are not in a position to help the humanity in the state of ignorance. That was the answer I get. I mean, the secrets are known to him, but this is the position of the avatarhood, in which in that small booklet he says, I am the highest of the high. If I am anything, I am the highest of the high or nothing at all. Now, it is all right, I talk and you hear, but I must be convinced about this. Unless I am convinced, who is Meher Baba? Nothing to me at all. And who may be another? Nothing at all. I have to be convinced, but I must give myself a chance to be convinced. How shall I be convinced unless I open my heart, I open my eyes, my mind, I open my eyes, I open my ears and try to know things and compare and understand and come to a conclusion? I will never give myself a chance at all. If I do not give myself a chance at all, then I shall say there is no sunshine at all. Meher Baba goes outside. There is a man who sits in the room, closes his doors and windows and all, and he shouts out all the time, there is darkness. Who is this Meher Baba is talking about all light and sunlight? Darkness, complete darkness. So Meher Baba says, you come out, open the little window and see. No, that I am not going to do that. You give me the light here, otherwise there is no light. I won't accept that there is a light anywhere. So Meher Baba listens for a long time and comes and just splits up the door. And the streak of light comes in, his eyes open, oh, so much of light, it was all the time there, then he comes out. So such persons are very difficult. I would not mind any man who criticizes, even adversely criticizes, for the matter of arguments, he comes and aches my heads and brain out, but that man who locks himself up like this, and says, I am right and the whole world is wrong, is very impossible. It's an untenable situation we can't meet with. So that is that. We have to open ourselves to know things, or else how shall we ever know? Or we shall become men of lost opportunities. In my own life of nearly 47 years with Meher Baba, I have seen persons who had come 30 years before, they did not bother. Who is Meher Baba? Let us go away. Then he sees, after 30 years, 30 persons have come from the west, 10,000 miles. Oh, there must be something in Meher Baba. How have they come 10,000 miles away? I am here so close by. I never looked at him at all. I never tried to open myself at all. Now let me go. At least for the having seen these persons having come 10,000 miles distant. And the Westerners. So there must be something in Meher Baba. Let me go. Then the man comes. And fall at his feet. These are my, I have seen my, before my, and he says, I am a man of lost opportunity. 30 precious years of my life were lost. I said, it is never too late. Take cheer. Take cheer in your heart and balance in your head. And go forward. I said, you do not bother about. And then he goes peacefully well. And he become a very ardent lover of Meher Baba. And there is no initiation. You do these things, you put on this robe, you put on... Meher Baba has, he's absolutely, he says, I have not come to establish any new religion at all. I have come to revitalize all religions. And he wants everyone to remain in his own religion. All religions are the same. They bear out the same truth. One God exists at the back of the religion. If Muslims say that the Christians are heathens, and the Christians are say that the Hindus are heathens, do you mean to say God is going to be as unjust as possible? If all the Christians are Christians, and the rest of millions of Hindus are heathens, then how can that God be just at all? I would not call him God at all. He would be the most unjust being. He should be shunned. He should not be remembered at all, such a God. I am not prepared to accept such a God at all. But things go on in this world. And I tell you, this will not go on long. Nobody knew 2000 years ago, when a few fishermen were all around Christ, and there are millions of followers now. We can't take our mind back 2000 and see things as they are. We see Christianity as it stands before our eyes today and try to compare with how many followers Meher Baba has got. Meher Baba had many, many followers, more than Christ had in his own life. And it takes time. Avatar's work is slow, steady, sure, and it takes time. It may take a century or it may take 2 centuries, we do not know. Anything that is done in rush and hush-hush never lasts. Anything that is done thoroughly takes time and lasts much longer. So this is the law prevalent everywhere. So it is up to us now to decide things for ourselves, whether we want it or not. I have seen persons who have said that we have become men of lost opportunities. And they have come back again. I would like persons to ask questions if they feel that something requires to be asked. I would not like them to hesitate in at all. In the meantime, I can take a few sips of this.
Would you tell the story that you didn't tell a little while ago?
Hmm?
The one that Jack said you should say later, would you say it now?
Jack has the habit of saying many things, let's person ask questions. I will tell that story later.
Any other questions
or thank you? Hmm? You're calling for other questions? Have you? Yes.
Can you explain the reason why
the Bible
explained to you why he kept silent?
He himself has given many reasons, sir. And if you ask me, I would only say that the reason is known to himself alone. He has said, one of the reasons was that all along humanity has made mockery of the teachings of the previous avatars, and no amount of talking has done any good to the world at all. So in this incarnation, I prefer to observe silence. This is one way of looking at it. There are others who say it's a great conservation of energy, but conservation of energy with Meher Baba doesn't matter. He has got no hold because he is the master of energy. What does conservation of energy mean for him? It is for a man who in a small way wants to conserve energy. He is the master of it all. And he has the entire stock of energy in his hand in whatever shape it may be, because the energy is never lost. Even a physical particle in the world is never lost. It disintegrates and goes and merges into the different elements, but nothing is lost, even in the physical way. So there is no question of conservation of energy at all. And another thing he says, I am in everyone. Not that I see myself in everyone. Not that I feel myself in everyone. But I am in everyone. And I'm talking through every mouth. So I feel like observing silence in this body.
As against that.
Yes.
Anand, could you say a few words about the quality of Baba's voice or what you remember?
'22 to '25, I heard his voice for 3 years. How can I reproduce that voice? And what description can I give of that voice? I really do not know. Once we tried to do such a thing that different voices were to be produced, and I was to choose out of all those voices which really resembled Meher Baba's voice, but it could not come to pass at all. Breaking of the silence, he has explained that apart from the breaking of the silence, he said quite a few things which in our own way did not come to pass, and we go on asking questions. Probably a man who has no faith in Meher Baba, but because he sees that he has not done what he has said, that he goes on thinking about him, that Meher Baba in a way may have done like this, that it has given, it has raised a question for everyone to think over. And if they do not think of him in direct way, at least in this indirect way, he shall start thinking of him. That is one of the remote reasons. He has said, sir, after giving the declaration on the 30th of September 1954 in Ahmednagar, Maharashtra, India, he has given explanations, clarifications of the declaration. And in the declaration he said that I shall express the word of words, and quite a few things he said. But then in the explanation he said, I speak in three languages. I speak in my own language. When I speak in my own language, you do not understand anything. When I speak in your language, you understand it. When I speak in a mixed language, a part of which is mine and a part of which is yours, part that is mine, you do not understand. That part which belongs to you, you understand. So now where to catch hold of Meher Baba, I do not know. He is very slippery. We can't hold him down. And he used to say, I am slippery. He said, this is all God's work. It is inexplicable to you. It is not easy for you to understand. As the other day I said, Meher Baba the avatar and the rest of previous avatar, they did their inner work. People say, oh, where is Meher Baba? He's meditating. Meher Baba doesn't need any meditation at all. He's the object of meditation for the whole world. They do not know what is inner work. When he sits silence, when he sits in seclusion, they think that he is meditating. It is not meditation at all. It is the inner work. It is a vicarious suffering, as also is mentioned in the Bible. I have not read it, but they say so. It's a vicarious suffering for the whole world. And that we have seen with Meher Baba. So much and so on. And we try to coincide the time and the day when he suffered here, that some calamity was taking place in the other end of the world, and he was suffering here. Khanjar chale kisi pe tadapte hai hum ameer, sare jahan ka dard hamare jigar mein hai. He says, one man is killing another man, and I am suffering for no reason at all, because the entire suffering of the whole world resides in my heart. This is the poet in his inspiration, he wrote. But this was the state and the condition of Meher Baba we used to see with our own eyes. And many a times I ask, Baba, why don't you explain how you suffer and how you help internally others? He says, it's not possible for you to understand at all. So to me, according to me, it is like this. He has that force and that power. That power is not in the material sense, not in the subtle sense, not in the mental sense. It is something beyond this. It is something beyond the mind. And I thought to myself, how does he work? Supposing there is an ocean, and many, many waves arise on the ocean. Some of the waves are to be converted, directed, thrown into some direction, and something is to be performed there, some obstacle to be overcome, some different colors, impure colors are there, they are to be dissolved, something has to be done, and the waves have got to do, and the waves, you see, are the expressions of the power of the avatar. How could he explain? How he does? How many waves are there? What is the dimension of the wave? How much does he rise? How much does he fall? How many small waves are formed when the big waves fall? And how many ripples are formed? It is not possible. It is beyond you to understand. And the way we work is absolutely different. It is not the force. It is not the mental force. It is not the energy through which work. They do work. They can work through the energy, through the mind force, through the mental world, through the subtle world, through the physical world. But they have something far too beyond them also. And that is where they do the real work, which we cannot understand. So we have to keep quiet. The child asks many things to the father. Father, why don't you come and sit with me and play the whole day? Why do you go to your office? Why do you drive a car? So what is the reply? The father is going to give the child won't understand at all. The child has his own point of view, has his own vision. He asks questions like this. So the distance between the child and the father is far too little than I as an ordinary man and Meher Baba as the avatar. So what questions can I ask him? When I ask him a question and he answers, I don't understand at all. When a real answer were to be given by the father to a child, the child will not understand. And sometimes the father will play with the child, ba, ta, ma, sa, like this, for quite a short while, and the child will take the delight that my father is playing with me, but all the time he will not go on doing. So if I insist upon Meher Baba to talk in my language all the time, it's an imposition, he will not listen. He has his own language to speak, he speaks. Now coming to the point of the word of word that he was to express, Baba has left. Besides, he has said in three languages, the explanation which he has given, we have to classify under which heading he said this. Apart from that, if he also leaves it to the interpretation of many persons, even those who are very close to him, and he allowed them their interpretation. So if you ask me, my interpretation, some may agree, even the closest of Meher Baba's disciples may agree and may not agree. But that doesn't make any difference in whatever it is, it was. If you ask me, I shall say that Meher Baba has broken his silence. He has given the word of words to the world. The manifestation is going to take place. It has begun to take place. What is the word? He didn't say that by uttering the word, I was to give you a long talk that would be heard by the whole world. He did not say that. The word of word is the pointer to the force, to the power of love, the love which he worked for the entire world, the inner work which he performed, and that power he has released in the world and left his body. And that power is going all through like this now and working it out, and it will manifest in its own way into the lives of individual lives of men, into the lives of the community, into the lives of townspeople, into the lives of the whole state, country, nation, and the whole world. People ask me, how that manifestation is going to take place? I cannot say how it is going to take place. It will take its own course in its own way, but it will take time. It cannot be all done at once. And that is the manifestation, and we see that it is going on. Persons who have never read about Meher Baba. We do not want thousands and millions of persons just clapping hands, seeing the picture of Meher Baba dropping some crocodile tears. They are going home, forget and sleep over it. We do not want that. I want a few men. If I address a meeting of 10,000, if I get one man out of it, that he is ready to take up, lead a life accordingly. And Baba is directly connected with your life. He is not connected with the theories which you have got in your head. It is not a reading or a theory at all. It is a play with your life. It is a surrendering of your own life to him. And he does not keep that life with himself, he gives it back to you. But in a different form altogether. You take your life and give it to him, hand over. Here is Meher Baba, is Meher Ma, you take the charge of my life. He says, yes, I will do. Then what he does? He gives it back to you. Take it back. Look after this life. This is not your life. This is my life now.